God's word together. Genesis 3, 8 through 10, and they heard
the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself. For God hath so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son."
Amen. Please be seated. Now, Mother's Day is definitely one of my favorite times of the year. Matter of fact, I rarely wear ties these days, and I wear this because I really believe I want to honor moms and women. Wow, trying to take my Diet Coke. So I just am... so amazed and thankful for women in the world. And I want to share with you that I have one of the best people in this world that is married to me. Cynthia is this amazing, loving, godly person that I have known for the last 35 years. And my wife describes me as a Labrador. And I would go around the house, and I go, "Wow, isn't that great? Look, wow, this is great. Let's do this, let's do that." But at the same time, my tail is wagging, and I'm knocking over things at the same time. So you can understand my personality a little bit. But that was happening the first 6 months of our marriage. And I'm going around going, "Wow." And at the same time, Cynthia, if you ever met her, she's very soft-spoken. She's non-confrontational. She is just this beautiful spirit. So I thought she wanted me to make all the decisions. So I was making decisions, and I'm making decisions. I actually, when we went out to a meal, I said, "Why don't you get this, and I'll get that." Well, after 6 months, she blew up, and I thank God for that. And I got to know my wife, and that's what marriage is about. We think we know the person that we're marrying on that wedding day. But no, it's a time of discovery. And in that amount of knowing that person, throughout the years, you get to know that person better and better and better. And that is the process that God has for us. God wants us to learn and to know. In fact, there is a theological term that we use, is to know God. And when we know God, we are intimately learning more and more and more about him. And that is what the Trinity is about. People struggle with the concept of Trinity. Matter of fact, sometimes we even have a hard time explaining the Trinity. But the Trinity is a very simple thing. God knows that we cannot relate to a God. We can't relate to a person who created the universe and knows everything about everything. But God knows that we can relate to a person. And so God made three persons, three distinct persons, and we are in the process of getting to know those persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we cannot explain the gospel of Jesus Christ well when we're not intimately involved with a relationship with our God in heaven. And that's what God wants. God wants to experience God in a very intimate way so that when we do explain the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're doing it from an intimate experience. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is the foundation, the Trinity is the foundation when it comes to explaining the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. And this is the series that we're looking at. How do you explain the good news of Jesus Christ to non-believers? We're so used to it. We talk about it every day. It actually, we breathe the gospel of Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit is with us, and at the same time, we are just operating under the gospel moment by moment. But how do we explain it to a non-believer in a way they go, okay, this is helping me? And this is what these sermons and series are about. Today we're looking at the Father. And there is this great song that was made. I first heard about it in 1996. It was at a Promise Keepers. And this song has kept with me for all these years, but it's called Knowing You, Jesus. Has anybody ever heard the song Knowing You, Jesus? So what I've done is I went ahead and had Paul, he's going to play just a little of it and just look at the lyrics and also the words. I hear that it's very hard to play as a musician, because I'm not a musician, but I know that I love the song and the lyrics. So let's go ahead and play this just for a little bit. At a Promise Keeper, can you hear me? At a Promise Keeper, I fell in love with that song. It really helped me to know what my life is about. And again, I said earlier, unless we know intimately our God, it's very, very difficult for us to be able to share that information to others. The word good news is actually a word Greek is a verb that connects to a proper name, okay, a proper word. And the word is evangelical or evangelicalism, and I've had a hard time with that. Let me get back to it. And it means sharing the good news. Everywhere that is mentioned, the good news, it actually is mentioned in all scripture as sharing the good news. It's just not the good news, a noun, but it is sharing the good news. It has to be stuck together. So we are in the process of knowing how we can share the good news, but we do this through knowing our God in heaven. And that's what the Trinity is about. So today we're looking at the Father. Very important. The Father is an important part of it because there's an important characteristic about God. He also has a very special type of ministry, as you can say, of a relationship with us. And I'm going to go ahead and share with you three words that I believe that can help you when it comes to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So the first thing is our Father in heaven gives us life. So sometimes people are struggling. What is the purpose of life? You know, and we have a lot of great philosophical answers and religious answers, whatever it is, but it's very, very simple in Scripture. Very simple. God wanted a family. That's it. He created us to have a family. And let me share that with you from Genesis 3, 8 through 10. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." This basically describes to us God's desire for us to be in a family relationship. Every day, God looked to be a part of Adam and Eve's day by walking with them. He created a family to have a son and daughter. But we know what sin did. Sin kicked us out of that relationship. It's broken. We don't have that same type of relationship because of sin. And so, but God loves us, this is the second L, God loves us so dearly, He did not want us to die in our sins, He wanted us to have us come back in a right relationship. So the mission and the purpose of Jesus Christ is not to be such a great teacher, a great healer, a great leader. His mission is to bring us back to the Father through the work that He does for us. So the first thing that God does, He gives us life. You were created in your mom's womb. There was a reason for that. There was a reason for that little fish and that little egg get together, and God ordained it. If it would have been something different, another little fish, then it would have been a different person. God created you in a way that you are right now. Your personality, your characteristic, your gifts is all about God's plan. And those gifts, the way He created you, is to have a loving, right relationship. So God gives life. First thing, God, our Father, gives life. The second thing, He loves us so dearly, and He did not want us to die in our sins or allow sin to completely destroy us. He wanted us back into that relationship. And that's why John 3:16 is so powerful. But many times we just read John 3:16. We don't read the 17th and 18th passage that goes with it. So let me read it for you. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." Powerful. It's powerful that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That is why God brought His Son into the world, so that we will not perish. That's what sin does. That we will have everlasting life. That was what He intended us to have when He first created us. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." God is not sending anyone to hell. We got to get that out of our mind. God is trying to rescue us from going to hell. And hell is basically a complete distance where we never come back and experience His grace and goodness. "Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So God gave us life. God loves us so dearly. He gave His Son. He wanted this relationship so badly, but also He has a longing for us. That longing, He truly, truly, truly desires an intimate relationship with us. He created us for that. He brought Christ into our life. Christ, with the work of the cross and the resurrection, brings us back into an intimate relationship. So we have life, we have love and longing. See, God longed for us, and that's why this passage I love so well, it's the prodigal son, because it tells us how God longs for us. And this is the prodigal son. "And he arose and came to the father, but while he was still a long way off, His father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now, we need to know that that phrase in there was very, very important for us to hear. Because you know the story. The son goes away, he squanders everything, tries to live life on his own terms, which means sin, and he realized, my goodness, this is awful. This is terrible. I'm doing terrible things, and he realizes he has less value than the pigs, so he thinks, I can go back and work as a servant. He knew he could never come back as a son or daughter. He'd lost that right. So he thought he can come back as a servant. At least the servants were being treated much better than he was. So he comes back, but we know the story. God longs for his son and daughter to come back. Instead of waiting for his son to come up to him, he saw him and let him grovel a little bit because basically the son shamed him in the Jewish culture. But instead, we see this father, which again is against the Jewish norms of the time. He runs out. He runs out. He longs for his son. He longs for his daughter. He hugs the son. He hugs the daughter. He kisses, and he loves on him and says, and as the son was saying, well, I can work as a servant. No, you can't. No, I won't let you because you have come back. You're now a part of the family. Now I'm going to adopt you back into my family. Here, take the robe. Take the ring. These are symbols of you being in my family, a part of the family, and let's celebrate. So God longs for us. He longs for the sinner to come back to him. So life, what's the second one? Love and longing. The Father does this for us. As we intimately get to know our Father in heaven, we realize those character traits are so, so true to us. We understand how he has made us and created us, and we are here for a purpose. We, the way I look, whatever my big nose and, you know, 5 foot, trying to be 6 foot two, but 5 foot eight, you know, you learn that this is how God made me. I am the Labrador with the tail, wagging. How can I live my life that way? And I learned to live with this face, with his hair, with his body, because God made me this way. He gave me life. Because of that, he wants me in an intimate relationship, and he loves me so dearly. There's no one in this world that loves us so dearly. There's close. Moms are close. They are really, really close, as well as dads. But nothing compares to the amazing love that God has for us. That blows me away. I think that it blows all of us away because we know that we are not lovable sometimes. Oh, my goodness. And we don't deserve the love, but God loves us and he longs for us. He longs for what? For us to walk in the garden and talk with him and spend time with him and be a part of his family. That's why we understand the Trinity. The Father, as we get to know the Father personally and intimately, and through God's grace, he's helping us to do that, we are able to share that with other people. So it's very simple this morning. Knowing God the Father as one who gave life, loves you unconditionally, and has a longing you for intimately, for you to be intimately involved with him, will help you explain the gospel. Knowing God as the Father who gave life, who loves you, and who longs for you. That's so important. And we are going to discover that through God's grace. As God's grace always, always, always puts us in a situation where we can experience his presence and his love. So when we are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ from our intimate relationship with our Father in heaven, one of the things we can say is that the Father gave us life, brought us into a family. We got kicked out because of our sin. He loves us so much, he gave his son so that we can have everlasting life. And he longs for us every day. We'll help you to explain the gospel. The gospel is just not the good news. Got to get that out of your mind. It's just not the good news. It is sharing the good news. That is how that phrase is used through the Greek throughout the New Testament. It's just not saying, hey, good news. It's about us sharing. It is something that moves. It is something that is active. So God says, sharing the good news, we go into the world. Now, again, I just want you to know that I've had an amazing time here at First Presbyterian Church. And I've gotten to know some of you very intimately. You've shared your stories with me. You've shared your life with me. And those are those relationships that I truly find dear. And I try always to ask about your story. I think you've been around me long enough, you know, how did you get married? How did you become this? Tell me the story about this, because I am trying to get to know you intimately. That's why I love car trips. You get in a car trip for an hour or 2 hours, man, you got a captive audience. Oh, you got a captive audience. It is great. And just, you know, even say, hey, let's go to Chena Hot Springs. Just, let's take a little, you know, get out there and get in that hot springs. Within those 2 hours on that trip, you'll get to know that person so much better than just sitting over a cup of coffee. Now, you have to have a lot of cup of coffees to get to know a person, but you got 2 hours of sitting and sharing and knowing that person intimately. The same way God has with us. Every day, through His grace and the presence of the Holy Spirit, He provides us those intimate moments, those times in which we are sharing our lives with our Father in heaven, as well as hearing Him. So, how do we explain the gospel of Jesus Christ? We do it by knowing the reason behind the Trinity, and the Trinity has to do with us getting intimately involved in knowing our Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Next week, we'll do Jesus. So, let's pray. Father, we thank You for choosing us to be a part of Your family, bringing us back through Jesus Christ. Father, we truly want just to walk with You, to feel Your presence, to be able to hear Your voice, to know that You're with us every moment of the day. That truly blesses our heart. And we know that worship is just a part of that. You bring us into Your presence on a Sunday morning. You bring all these elements together, the singers, the music, all of it, so that we can intimately know You through our worship. Help us to worship. Help us not to look at our watches, but help us to worship and be invited by Your presence then here, and just enjoy receiving everything You have given us in this worship service, as well as throughout the week. It blows our mind, God, that You want to know us intimately. But we thank You for that. And help us to know how to share this wonderful good news about You to others. In Jesus' name, amen.